Hauser. If you just tune in, Hauser, good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday morning. Lockdown day 61.
Yes.
Lots going down, man. Lots going down. On the line from Cape Town this morning, Musi Mayamane. He's been pretty active on social media the last couple of days. Musi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. How's Cape Town looking this morning?
It's wet and cold.
Cold and wet. Listen, nothing dry about Twitter either. Before we chat about your ultimatum, I was following the conversation yesterday on Africa Day. You don't mind sticking your neck out there on Twitter about Mugabe?
No.
But I get the impression that you sometimes want to get a conversation going, and then not really a conversation as it is, a bit of dragging and it's going south. When people tell you that you have no right to bring up a certain topic, how do you feel about that?
No, I think you know, like on Twitter, you always have trolls. You have people who don't want to express a view but want to attack you in person rather than debating ideas. And I think that you kind of ignore it. I don't have time for that sort of thing. And I think that part of our role is to obviously focus on what happens in the continent. And I know very well, having hosted MPs from Zimbabwe who have been kicked out or who have been had families tortured, I know I'm speaking from a place of having worked with the Zimbabwean opposition, having worked with the people of Zimbabwe and MPs from there. So I really just don't have time for that sort of nonsense that sometimes gets spewed out.
I mean, I was keen to read what you were tweeting about Mugabe and you know, and how you feel about him, as you just said now, the opposition that you gave to him being included in a certain conversation. And then you try to keep the conversation going by even suggesting other Zimbabwean leaders that should rather possibly be recognized as heroes.
No, certainly. And I think that the history of Africa is, especially of liberation, is a history upon which many people played a role. But what we cannot deny is the fact that those are leaders who perhaps maybe served. They served their time. They finished their time. They worked with the people. But they never turned against their people. And I think this is the untold story of Robert Mugabe, is that whilst he might have played a role in the initial transition of Zimbabwe, no one can deny the atrocities that have been taking place in Zimbabwe under this very same government. So at one level, you can't simply just say, just because someone played a role at a time, and now that they become a dictator and the atrocities that become committed, we must continue just to lord them over, especially on a day like Africa Day. The great difficulty about Africa is that we sometimes just see leadership as one lens and fail to see leaders who saw through their project, made sure citizens actually worked in the end. And that prosperity, they serve the citizens rather than become themselves. You know, the Kenyans always famously say, at first you must be liberated, and then you must liberate yourself from the liberators. So for me, I think that this capture by liberators, they soon become themselves dictators and commit atrocities against their people. And I simply cannot tolerate that.
I wanted to bring it up just quickly, and we'll move on in a moment, because I often find on Twitter someone wants to express an opinion and then they get shut down or trolled, as you say. I mean, the one guy, they even told you this is above you, chief, and then people stop the conversation because they may feel intimidated. And then I'm glad you didn't stop, because I was interested to read your reasoning behind it. Why did you make that statement, and also the other names? And then I read up about the other names of leaders you put forward in Zimbabwe. So, yeah, it was a lesson for me in terms of social media conversation. But, I mean, you're a politician. You must be used to not keeping quiet when people tell you to keep quiet. So, as you know, I suppose you've learned that lesson before.
No, and I think it's far beyond just even politics. I think, you know, the difficulty, in a funny sort of way, politics is about in some ways exaggerating one particular point at almost at the ignorance of many others. So the idea that Mugabe is only liberator and fails to see that he's also oppressor is one that politics is playing into. I, with the sincerity of my heart, want to work with all citizens. And it will be true here. I truly pray that South Africa never goes through that, where even a liberation movement becomes an oppressive movement. But at the same time as all of that, we as the citizens must always realize that we are committed to working together. We must celebrate leaders, and we must ultimately, all of us, stand together, united, and realize that the politicians serve us, not the other way around. And I think anyone who wants to be lauded, we must be cautious of that as citizens of this continent, because it is the very cycle that undermines the rule of law and becomes the rule of men, and therefore those men become people who are no longer accountable to us as people.
It's our job to keep people accountable, especially in those positions. Listen, tell me about your ultimatum, 48 hours for President Ramaphosa to explain his reasons behind opening the schools on Monday for those grades. How many people signed your petition, by the way?
The petition has gone over 150,000 people, and we're encouraging more and more people to sign it. I have been now collecting messages from teachers, principals. Certain schools have already said that their teachers will not be returning, because whilst the department and the presidency might make pronouncements, the reality of it is that the department has not been able to implement and has never been able to meet deadlines. Already we now know KZN have said the return of their teachers will only happen on Thursday. I know for a fact that in many schools, PPEs have not been delivered. So this to me tells me a story upon which it's a Department of Education that talks but has not been able to deliver on its word. And so for me, I'm asking the presidency and the National Command Council to be able to give people the reasons why for this administrative action. You are taking a decision that puts 1.3 million South Africans in terms of school kids and enough teachers and enough support staff in an environment where they themselves cannot be guaranteed their safety. It would be like saying to someone, hop on a plane, but we're not going to, we think we might give you masks, but we're not sure if we'll give them to you. We hopefully want to make sure that our toilets work, but we're not sure, and that there's water. But hop on it anyways and see if you survive not getting the virus. To me, this is the highest thing. And I think that it's unsafe for our kids.
Do you think he's going to get back to you with reasons?
Well, we've certainly put that forward to him, and if he doesn't respond, we'll have to compel him legally to do so. Because there again, the president is not above any parent, he is a citizen.
Yeah.
And the laws of the republic apply to him also. And that's our call. I understand many parents, I've got kids, we all want our kids to go back to school. And I understand that some schools, equally so, might say, but we are ready, why are we being punished? I understand those reasons, and I understand the reasons that say, look, kids cannot stay at home in perpetuity. I'm simply saying, we have a crisis before us, we have lives at stake. Let us take the appropriate 2 months, 3 months, fix up the schools. And I bet you, if you said to parents, teachers, communities, let us contract people, let's go make sure schools have water, that there's sanitizers, that there's actual equipment there, we could really begin to revolutionize education in a way that it is equitable to all.
And because also
like Corona, we can't say some have got health care and some don't, so it should be fine. Actually, schooling is exactly the same. You can't say some have schooling and others don't, and it should be fine.
I was about to ask you, what is your alternative suggestion? So what I'm hearing now is that you're saying, take our time, fix up all the necessities like the plumbing, make sure there's running water so they can wash their hands. We keep telling people, wash your hands, and then open. Be absolutely
Completely
sure.
Work out a transport system because many kids, you know, are not transported to school just in private cars. Many use public transport. If not public transport, they have school transport, which packs them like sardines. So you are putting a driver, you are putting all of those kids in danger with one another. Why don't we roll out? We've got so many in metros. We've got buses that sit around. Why don't we create a school transport system where fewer kids can get onto those, but they are safer to get to school? We needed a plan instead of promises. We needed action rather than just simply just saying, well, we are consulting.
It makes sense.
And I'm urgently calling for the department to say, do not put any child's life at risk. It is against the Constitution of the Republic to do that.
Listen, I've been meaning to ask you, next year is an election year, and there are going to be some hot contenders. What are you going to register as a party? What are your plans?
We are building a movement of all South Africans. And so, you know, elections are an outcome of having people who say, we stand with you, want to work with you. And if they find representatives in their communities that can stand up and represent the community and are accountable to the community, let's work with those people. But just to simply stand in an election just as another party. Parties are the reasons why South Africa has got here. So let's build a movement together, South Africans. And many people have come on board and said, we want to be a part of this. Some of them are not political at all. Mm-hmm. And are saying, we want to work with you. And ultimately, if we build this grassroots movement, we can really bring change to South Africa, not only to politics, but to business, to communities, so that ultimately accountability is always with the people. So for next year, I'm simply saying to people, if you can identify candidates that can represent you, why should they be politicians? Politicians mm-hmm. have got us into trouble.
All right.
Get the right person, let's mm-hmm. vote for them, and we'll stand with them.
Listen, last question. I've run out of time. But you know these guys better than I do, right? I read all these stories on social media, and you don't know what is fake news or what's not fake news at the moment. I mean, if there's one thing South Africa is talking about, it's damn cigarettes, right? What is the story about? Is it Edward Zuma and him being a director in a cigarette company, and those are the cigarettes that we can find on the streets, and all those. Theories and allegations and stuff. I mean, is that all fake news, or is that really something we should consider?
The first premise that citizens must have is with the history of this government is one that is lack trust. I don't know why we should suddenly believe that we should trust them in this time to be acting not only in the interest of citizens, but without self-interest, because we know very clearly there are commercial aspects to what this government has gotten up to, and that's why people get funded in a particular way. But at the end of the day, accountability is still key, and therefore I don't understand, I haven't been given rational reasons as to what the ban on cigarette has been, or what the ban on various things has occurred. The regulations have all been muddled up and confusing for most people. Like, you can buy a short sleeve shirt, but not a long sleeve shirt. So it's all of these regulations that have given power to a government that has a history of corruption to suddenly be able to dictate to people what they can and cannot do. So to me, I just think even around the cigarette lobby or whatever the relations are, much broader investigation must be done. And we know that in South Africa we suffer with a serious case of illegal cigarette trade. And this government is not immune from benefiting from it.
Listen, thanks for catching up with me again and all of us. I always believe ask questions. Ask the questions. Don't wonder. Don't make up stories. So thanks for answering those questions. Take care of yourself and your family. Thanks, Musi.
Much appreciated. Thank you so much.
And, you know, having said that, if there are any other questions, you read so much stuff on social media, right, Liesl? You read so much stuff and conspiracy theories mm-hmm. and rumors and stuff. And I always believe you can just pick up a phone and just ask.
Just ask, yeah.
Maybe someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it can answer you these questions. So I'm glad that Musi came on and answered a couple of questions, especially about his ultimatum. Any other questions that are pressing that are you need answers to, let us know. We'll just try and reach out and, you know, get the right answers from the right people. Welcome to the show. Tuesday morning, you good?
Jacaranda FM's Breakfast with Martin Bester. 6 to 9 weekdays.